Now on the line joining me is Doug Beattie, the UUP MLA and Justice Spokesman. Doug, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Doug, you're very welcome to U105. Doug, thanks for joining us this morning. Just we wanted to talk to you, and we're going to talk to a few people through the morning as well. The new head of the UK's armed forces has been speaking in a media briefing, and he said yesterday afternoon, I think, to media, that he would not allow Northern Ireland's veterans to be chased by people making claims of wrongdoing. General Sir Nick Carter spoke at the event yesterday, where he praised what he called the remarkable job that's been done by the army in the region. And while the new chief stated that he supported investigations were justified, he said that he was deeply uncomfortable with the idea of veterans facing questioning for actions taken during the Troubles. As we know, in May, a public consultation on legacy issues was launched, and that included proposals for an historical investigations unit. Doug, what's your reaction to the comments that are coming from General Sir Nick Carter? Do you think that's what the man in his position should be saying? He's perfectly entitled to do so. Would you welcome those?
I think the statement, it was actually an interview he did from General Sir Nick, was actually very, very balanced, and he gave a very balanced view. And what he was talking about was soldiers being investigated for Troubles-related incidents, and he was quite clear, and I have been clear on many occasions, that if soldiers did something wrong, then they should be investigated, and that we should follow the evidence, and we should let the justice do its piece. And that's the same for soldiers or policemen, members of the public, or even politicians. So I think he's right, and he's very balanced. I think the issue about vexatious claims is a concern he has as the head of the armed forces about what has gone on previously, not just in Northern Ireland, but wider afield in other theatres where vexatious claims have been made. And what he's saying is that he will not allow that he will do whatever he can to try and stamp out those vexatious claims. And when he says that he feels that the armed forces did a remarkable job, then I've got a tendency to agree with him, because Northern Ireland was an extremely difficult geopolitical, cultural, religious conflict. And I use the term conflict. Others don't like to use that term conflict. And soldiers were put into the middle of it. And it was extremely difficult for them. And hundreds of thousands have served with great distinction. And they helped us bring us to where we are now. And that is to peace. They weren't the only movers in that, but they were part of it. But of course, I have to say, and I say this genuinely, there is other narratives out there. People will view this absolutely different from me, and I accept they will view this different from me, and I don't close that down. I think it's important that we listen to other people as they talk and how they see things. But as they explain what they think, they see it in their narrative, then I have every right to explain
and
what
we do want to give the opportunity for those other narratives to be heard through the morning as well, and we have a couple more people that we've lined up and that we're trying to get who may have a very different opinion to you, but equally, as you say, your narrative is equally important, and you're as entitled to your time as they are. And as you made the point there that Nick Carter was talking about the army in general, the British army in general across the world, he didn't specifically speak about Northern Ireland, but then obviously as part of it, he went into Northern Ireland. He's talking about vexatious claims, as you say. I think the phrase you used was in all theatres, and he is, but obviously it was of greatest interest to us, is here in Northern Ireland. Now, it may have been quite late in the day. The reporting that people are picking up seems to have come from the Press Association, because if we look at it, it's on the front page of the newsletter. It's carried inside the Telegraph on page 6 there as well. New Army Chief vows to defend veterans faced with vexatious allegations over Troubles. Written by a guy called Josh Payne, who's a Press Association reporter, so who would supply copies. The same reporter has been used in the piece that carried on page 2 of the Irish News. So at this point, it's a straight reporting of the claim, for example, in the Irish News, and I would expect the writing in the Irish News and those who read the Irish News, for example, to have a different narrative, as you say, on your own. But it'll be maybe a little bit of time before that starts to become clear. It's obvious that maybe late last night that story has been lifted and slotted in, and they haven't put an interpretation on it that is their own. We'll hear that interpretation through the morning as well. But you know, do you think that Nick Carter setting out his position early doors in his new role, do you think maybe that he's as he looked at the minutiae of every single case, and some were as complicated and as nuanced as Northern Ireland, can you Doug say that I'm gonna defend my people to the hilt without looking at the individual circumstances of each and every incident?
Well, I think what he has clearly said is that he will make sure that he defends soldiers against vexatious claims, and that's fair and it's right and it's proper. So if it's proven to be vexatious, then he is going to make sure that he defends in regards to that. The other issue I think that he will look at is those soldiers who have who have clearly been investigated, where the circumstances are extremely clear, where they're going to be reinvestigated again, and he feels that is not sensible. I'll give an example. Certainly, if you look at Loughall, where the soldiers there, who were heavily armed, came up against terrorists who were heavily armed, and there was a gun battle, and the terrorists were killed. Now, that is pretty much as it was and as it happened, and that doesn't need to be reinvestigated again. Why it is being reinvestigated again is beyond me. So I think what he's doing is setting out the fact is that he doesn't believe, as the head of the armed forces, and it's right that he speaks for the head of the armed forces, that should happen, and vexatious claims should not be allowed to carry in court to besmirch the good name of the British military. What I do find is quite
I think earlier in the week we had the opportunity to speak to some of the or to listen to the testimony and hear from some of the victims, for example, of murders that had been carried out by Republicans at the event that was organised by the group from South Fermanagh at Stormont. But one of the points that stuck with me from earlier in the week, I think, was one of the ladies there who was a victim and who'd lost a family member. She'd received a couple of and forgive me for not knowing exactly who it was that carried it out. She'd received a couple of historical reports, but for her there's a difference between a report and an investigation, and she asked for a show of hands from those in the room who were happy with the investigation or the report that they'd had, and she got the majority of the room. Those who would classify themselves as victims in that room were unhappy with the investigation that had taken part. So without making any political judgment or coming down on any one side, I would assume that there may be people on the other side who you would believe that the soldiers have been exonerated by whatever level of investigation took place, but you may find the people on the other side of that fence who may feel that actually the investigation itself was flawed, the amount of resources put into it that was flawed, that actually it was just a report and not an investigation, and that it didn't hold full value. So again, we're in, you know, I know the consultation's ongoing, Doug. The latest in that consultation, how long have people got to reply? Is that still open and ongoing?
No, it is still open. And let me address that first point that you make. And we're talking about the Historical Inquiries Team investigations, HET investigations, and they covered about 1,700 or 1,800 fatalities. That's roughly what they did.
Did they do reports and investigations?
No, they didn't. This is the point that I'm going to make. The HET was not an investigation. It was a desktop review. And the report that came out, and I've seen many of the reports, were desktop reviews. Now, there's no us and them. There's no one side or the other side. The people who got those HET reports, whether their loved one was killed by a Republican terrorist, a Loyalist terrorist, the state, the police, the army, you know, some of them feel that they are flawed. And I would agree with you, they are absolutely flawed. And any of those people who have received a HET report should be entitled to a full and further investigation, because they haven't had an investigation yet. And we've been calling for that for quite some time. And that I was at that legacy, although very briefly, I had another appointment. I was at that legacy meeting. And I've worked with some of these families, and they're absolutely right. The HET reports that they have received are absolutely woeful. They actually lay out what we all knew, what was open source reporting, and there's no investigation in the slightest. And again, I say that if somebody has a HET report and their loved one was killed by the military and they don't think that was right, then they should have the right to ask for a further investigation in regards to that. So, you know, there's more of a nuance here. There's more than just one side or the other side. We're talking about society in general, and we're talking about nearly 47,000 victims. The vast majority won't get an investigation whatsoever. So the way it sits at the minute, that if you're blown up and you lost both your legs, you will not get an investigation. Your only crime being that you didn't die, you survived. That's where we are at the moment. Now, this consultation is open till the middle of September, and I would urge people to engage with it.
And it does take us back to that point again that we were making, that it is nuanced. And do you think there's a danger that if there is an opening statement from the person at the head of the military to say, I'm going to defend our guys to the hilt, do you think that runs the risk of ignoring the nuances, not just in the theatre, to use the phrase, of the conflict of Northern Ireland, but in other places, but especially of interest to us in Northern Ireland? Do you think maybe that mindset would be, while it may be open to investigation, might be closed to some of the viewpoints of people who hold a different opinion?
Yeah, and I would agree with you if Sir General Nick had turned around and said that I do not want my soldiers to be investigated and I won't allow them to be investigated, or even if he said we must instigate a statute of limitations, which he did none of these. What he clearly stated, and he did mention Northern Ireland specifically, and what he clearly stated was that if a soldier has done wrong, then they should be investigated and the law should run its course. His concern is that He worries about vexatious claims, where claims are made, where people link two and two together, come up with six, but the court takes it forward anyway. And I think that's his concern. And then the issue of a statute of limitations, which he was pressed about, and he said it's not for him to decide on that. It's a political decision. I've been very clear, as is my party, that we do not support any form of a statute of limitations. So this is why I said from the very start, I believe that the head of the army statement was very, very balanced. And I think people need to look at that as being very, very balanced as well. And I'm trying to be balanced here talking to you today in regards to this as well.
No, and I appreciate that. Well, just in closing, Doug, because we'll need to move on and we want to open the ear to some other voices as well. But his predecessor had been criticised for his stance. Do you think that actually the stance of General Sir Nick Carter is a move forward from Sir Stuart Peach, who previously had said that he was deeply uncomfortable at the prospect of veterans facing investigation for actions during the Troubles? He said that it was a political decision as to whether there should be a statute of limitations on inquiries. Do you think that Nick Carter actually is more open-minded than his predecessor?
Well, I think we're talking about a choice of words here between the two of them, and words are extremely important, and you and I both know that, and sometimes my words don't actually match what I'm meaning. But I think, I take things as they are today, so therefore I listen to General Sir Nick Carter's words today, and I take comfort in those words, and those words are quite clear, that if you're a soldier who did wrong, you should be investigated, but if you're a soldier who went out and did his duty, that you should be covered and you should be protected from people who are making vexatious claims against you. I think that's a pretty balanced statement.
Okay. Doug Beattie, UUP MLA and Justice Spokesman, thanks very much for your time this morning and for your opinions. And I'm sure Frank will be talking to you again as this consultation goes on. Doug, thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you.
You're listening to U105, and it's Peter McVerry sitting in here for the final day for Frank Mitchell, who'll be back with you on Monday. We spoke earlier about the statement and the comments that came overnight from the new head of the UK's Armed Forces, General Sir Nick Carter, who's spoken out about Northern Ireland veterans being, and I quote, chased by people making vexatious claims of wrongdoing, and vowed that will not happen on my watch. We spoke earlier to UUP Justice Spokesman Doug Beattie on that MLA. We now on the line have Chris Donnelly, political commentator. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Peter.
Chris, what's your take on what General Sir Nick Carter said? Do you think he was, as Doug Beattie said, balanced in his comments and just right in what he said? Or do you think that he's gone too far and he's adopting a siege mentality attitude that isn't nuanced enough for Northern Ireland?
I don't think he would have got the balance right. I think it was, the high-handed arrogance of the language is particularly insulting. I mean, when he makes reference to people making what he called a clutch of vexatious claims. Vexatious, we've got the definition of it, means to cause annoyance or fright or worry. Who are making vexatious claims? People whose loved ones have been killed by the British Army. Now, the term you wouldn't use in that regard is vexatious. These are victims, just as there have been victims, relatives of victims of the IRA or loyalists. And there are faces and names to each of the people who he thinks are making vexatious claims. So I think it's insulting language for him to be using someone in his position. Clearly, it's a call to the troops, given that his status within the British Army, he wants to defend his boys and also line up, I think, with the right-wing press in Britain and the elements within the Conservative Party who are pushing to ensure that British forces do not find themselves before the courts over incidents of violence during the Troubles.
So do you think is it as much the term vexatious that you would take issue with? So that if someone has lost a loved one during the Troubles, and whether or not the soldier that may have fired the bullet was innocent or guilty of a crime, you think that actually there's no way in any situation where those who are raising the issue and wanting to have the truth of that could be described as vexatious? They're perfectly entitled to ask for a full and open and transparent investigation?
No, I think it's much more than that. I think what this intervention is about at this time is giving succor to that element within British politics and the media, which is pushing back against the notion of the British state through its representatives, its armed forces, being held responsible and accountable for violence that was inflicted upon people during the Troubles. If we look at what happened during the conflict, and up to this point, there has been an effective amnesty for British forces. There have only been a handful of British soldiers before the courts, and even when they were found guilty, their sentences were paltry and they were released early. So what has brought about this kickback has been the notion that there are now going to be potentially some soldiers before the court for killings that they were involved in during the Troubles.
And I know you said that it's effectively him rallying the troops, but is that not what everyone does? Like, for example, I don't know if you were able to hear our last interview, but we spoke to the chief electoral officer about the decision to have 3 rather than up to 10 points that you could go to in North Antrim in order to register your annoyance at Ian Paisley and ask for a by-election. We had Sinn Féin MLA Philip McGuigan on, and Philip was urging to go for the 10, and he thinks that he's unhappy with that decision. But we have a text in there from someone saying, Peter, typical Sinn Féin, our way or no way. What's wrong? You've got 6 weeks to get him out, not 12 hours if you want Ian Paisley to lose his position as an MP. If there's an election, what time do you put on it? You know, is Philip not just rallying the Sinn Féin troops? Is generous Nick Carter not just rallying the troops from the British Army? Verbally, of course. But is that not what everybody does? Is everybody not just still, sadly, in Northern Ireland behind the same line that we're all was behind and looking after their own?
I think there are two separate issues, but if I do take that one, I think that this is the first case this has happened in terms of the recall of an MP for this petition. And I think as a precedent, it was somewhat surprising that I think the electoral office decided to only open 3 offices in a constituency the size of North Antrim. But we'll see how that pans out. I think in relation to obviously the broader issues in terms of potential cases or people seeking convictions against soldiers, this is something we're already seeing happen regularly with regard to people, former combatants amongst Republicans and Loyalists, and it doesn't have the same coverage precisely because it's only now that there's potentially going to be cases brought against British soldiers that this is becoming a significant story in Britain, and we are seeing the whole notion of the statute of limitations coming into play. You see the position the British government's having to take on that, because they're worried that if they introduce a statute of limitations, it might have to be extended to include for Republicans and Loyalists.
Okay, Chris, well, we'll watch it and wait with interest. I know the consultation on the historical inquiries is still ongoing until September, and obviously General Nick Carter is just in post, so I'm sure there's lots more twists and turns to come on this, as there is in every issue in Northern Ireland. Chris Donnelly, thanks very much for your time.